Hey, BB. I need you an intro for the computer club.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm already recording.
I know. Once he brought that phone to me, I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
What are you guys doing? You're here with Avery, and you're deep into Cuphead.
Yeah, and cosplay.
And cosplay. So, I'm a week late getting this out. That's why I'm in here, bugging you for interesting content. Emily's here too. You're not playing Cuphead. What are you doing?
I make a bracelet.
Sounds so constructive.
I made a bracelet. I'm selling it for 30 pesos.
30 peso bracelets. Everybody hear that? If you're looking for friendship bracelets, handmade from Emily Stimson. She'll probably make them on request. Well, this is supposed to be the intro for last Tuesday's computer club meeting, which was when?
Last Tuesday.
What's today? The 18th?
It's April. Because Monday.
Oh, Monday. You're right. So it would be the 12th.
6 days ago.
That's right. 6 days ago. So this is the intro for the computer club for January 12th, 2021.
YouTube.
21,
y'all.
2021, hoping for a better year. I guess this comes to the end of the intro, and what BB and I always say at the end is, tech on!
Tech on! Tech on,
excellent.
Y'all!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The VPN.
Oh, you were running through the VPN.
I got rid of the VPN, and I went... Yeah, and that's why I was getting the delay.
Oh, that's good to know. Keep that in mind for next time. That's like a general tip to anybody in the club using VPNs.
Google Translate does not translate La Calaca.
Well, and so it continues the inferiority of technology. That's really funny that there wouldn't even be a mention. You should put something in. You know how you can edit translations to help them translate better? You should put La Calaca. The taco place outside of Santa Villa. It's a taco place in San Carlos. Hey, there's
downtown
Jim.
San Carlos.
That's right. Good morning, Jim. Are we appearing okay? Judy, are we appearing okay? You're on the iPad, right? Are we appearing okay on the iPad?
You were.
I've moved things around a little different. So I'm on the other side of the meeting now. And I'm curious.
Yes, you have. That ain't anything.
Is everything showing up the way we expect it to?
So what's happened to our Canadian friends?
That's a good question.
I was looking forward to their take on Tuesday.
On our insurrection?
Yes. Seditious actions.
I came today thinking that we would be talking about the great hack that's been going on across the United States, and I've got a feeling we're going to end up talking about insurrection all day. Parler and Twitter and Facebook being deplatforming many of these voices.
They've got their alternates.
Well, I was going to introduce a review of the Mac Air that you put up, you know, great technology.
Did you get one?
Oh, yeah, it lasted about 18 to 24 hours.
Oh, what happened?
My gosh.
Here's Jim. Hey, well, Irving, you might save your story. We've still got a few minutes before we're officially starting, and we'd love to listen to it.
Okay. Good morning, Judy. Linda, good morning.
Linda's here.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Irving.
Hi,
Jenny. Hi,
Dan. Same here.
So no surprises. I've just hit the streaming button, so we are live, but we are still a few minutes from just starting.
Yeah, as in seven.
Is Betty working a puzzle?
Yes.
Betty, I've been making jigsaw puzzles of our episode art every episode now online. If you're looking for a jigsaw puzzle online, I've got a whole collection now.
That sounds interesting. How many pieces?
Well, you can actually set the pieces yourself. I've been setting them most recently to 60. So they're very quick puzzles.
Maybe we'll try that. That sounds good.
Yeah. You know,
I set mine to 24 because I'm doing them on an iPhone. 24.
Well, it's cool. Bill turned me on to this site called Jigsaw Planet. And you can get a free account, and you can upload your art and turn it into jigsaw puzzles. And so I've been doing one for each episode of the Computer Club ever since. I don't know if you guys pay attention to the blog too much, but when I put out a blog post, I put out a piece of artwork that's, I don't know, it kind of symbolizes what our meeting was about. And I turn that into a jigsaw puzzle and leave a link there so people can go check it out. So you guys can go check it out. If you're bored on the internet, go to sccclub.org, look at a blog post, and you'll find, scroll through it, you'll find a jigsaw puzzle link. Thanks to Bill for the inspiration. Morning, Bill.
Morning.
It is a bit of a time waster because I opened up yours where all of yours are.
Yes.
And in fact, I'll show you.
There we go.
There they all are. And then you can click on each one, and like Scott said, you can change it. You can even set it so that the puzzle pieces rotate. And 24 with rotation possible, and then you have to turn it over so the letters are the right way. It's a mind challenge for a senior.
Actually, the challenge is to remember where that site is.
That's one. Yeah, go to the blog post. I put a link to it. I put a link to the most recent puzzle and also a link to the collection.
I go to the blog post just to hear the intro.
Aw, thank you. That's the other reason to go to the blog post, is to hear me and my daughter introduce the computer club.
Are we going to talk about birds and the bees any further?
Wasn't that cute? She loves that bird. Well, we'll get started a little early, I guess, because we're kind of into it already. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. You know me because I'm here each Tuesday at 10. Should we hold while you get that? And you guys are the Computer Club, and we have been meeting. This is our 46th virtual meeting. We are quickly approaching a year of virtual Computer Club meeting. Can you guys hear me now?
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, Linda, I can give you a government, U.S. government website where you can go and download the forms yourself and fill them out and send them in, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Hey, I got the stimulus.
Well, I can get the free one now because I have to file the
long form. I'm just excited.
I
didn't get the first stimulus. When I talked to people about it, they think I'm crazy. Of course you got it. I'm like, no, it never showed up. But I got the second one.
Well, now we haven't gotten the second one.
So the second one is completely related to the 2019 filing. If you didn't file taxes, you can go to the IRS site and file for the stimulus.
Scott, do you get the Alaska stimulus?
No, I don't live there often enough. Oh, good. Whatever I did fixed everything. I didn't do anything. I think it was a Hangouts thing.
Sound okay now?
I do, don't I? I sound great.
Yeah.
And you all look great. You're all coming in really good, really clear. Your audio's really
good. You don't look so good, though. Scott, you don't look good at all.
I see Kate has joined since you left.
Bill, you've pinned yourself. You need to take that pin off so you can see me.
I can see you.
Well, if you saw me, you'd know I look great.
Oh, I see.
Well,
I don't have to look at myself. I already know.
Aside from smart-ass remarks... How's everybody doing today? I think this is rolling finally. I think I'm going on my end.
Yeah, it seems to be. Yeah.
So are we starting over?
No, we're just going to move through it because you guys have been clubbing without me.
I put Paul in charge.
Oh, yeah? Okay, Paul, what's the next topic?
my report.
Yes, please do, Paul. Tell us, Paul has bought and installed the TP-Link Deco M5 mesh network that Jim has also installed and that my buddy Gustavo in Wymas has, and he'll give us a third report on the success of this product. Go ahead, Paul. That's my intro.
Okay, so I used to have a Linksys router to reach my laboratory downstairs, I had an extension. It was infuriating because I'd start a Zoom meeting, and by the middle of the Zoom meeting, I'd be crapping out, even though I'd turn off all the other tabs on my Chrome browser. So the best I could ever get would be about 15 on the download. And when I put the new router, the M5 router attached to the modem, and I came downstairs to initiate the second mode close to my computer here, about 10 feet away, and I was getting a better signal from the router upstairs than I ever got with the extension.
Your original setup was a router upstairs and an extender. Was it like halfway between you and upstairs, or was it in the room with you?
Oh no, it was closer to me. So, but
it wasn't in the room with you.
No, and every time I'd want to attend a meeting, I'd have to unplug it and plug it back in, so it would have a fresh start.
I think that's a very significant thing to say, Paul, because I think that's what's driving us into these mesh networks. Is we've got so many devices and we're doing so much now online. That becomes the characteristic of these networks. I constantly, probably every day or every other day, I'm walking around my network, unplugging an extender and plugging it back in, kind of refreshing it, whatever's clogged it up.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, now I did test with the two nodes. Now, I thought, oh, I'll put the third node in my bedroom upstairs, and I did a test up there, and it was so strong, it was like over 100, and so I don't really need to put that third node anywhere in my house. And down here, my values this morning was 41 and 11, and then
That's 41 contrast to 15 at most before?
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. And the upload is always 11 from my computer. But I found that if you do the test more than once, it increases. So the three values I got this morning was 41, 51, and 39, with 11 always uploading.
It sounds like your internet provider is similar to Telmex here, where they give you a portion going up, like one-fifth your speed going up, something like that.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Well, it's Cox, internet. And that, using my phone, I got 35, 83, and 70. So,
wow,
it's better with my phone. But the upload was 5, 10, and 5.
Yeah, that sounds characteristic of having more download than upload, which is a really common way to manage internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I was a gamer what I would need for upload to be successful, but this is plenty for anything I do.
Well, if I know that's not a question, but a gamer would be concerned about the ping. A gamer would need like 5 to 10 megabytes both directions. And then what would really be important is that ping, how quickly it responded, how quickly a packet would be sent back and forth. And so that is something that you want to consider. And if I were you, I'd consider putting the third in, because from what the propaganda I've read about this stuff is that you have a potential of having a large amount of traffic used on one node. So much so that it might be preferred to pass it to the third node. So in that kind of scenario, you've got what you're considering your main base station, and then you've got your extended base station, and maybe the extended base station is really busy with traffic. Maybe you've got a lot of devices connected to it, or a couple of devices doing a lot of things at once, and you go ahead and you want to do something else. If that's jammed up, it would pass it over to the third one so that the third one would go to the main base station.
Yeah. Now, in order to manage the system, I have an app. And the app is pretty good. Let's see, it's booting up here. It lists the network devices that I have that are active and inactive.
If I remember from what Jim's setup showed me, it actually showed me how much internet was being used by each device.
That's right, it does. The up and down, or down and up. So I've got six devices online right now.
That's got to be the real eye opener when you install something like this with the more sophisticated tracking. You're like, oh, I have 30 devices in my house.
And you know, the one fault of the thing is that because you have to use the app to do the installation, and it was stepwise instructions and very clear. And then it says, after I got the router going, it says, oh, there you go. And it never said, now it's time to add more nodes. So I eventually had to go to the help file, which it has, which is pretty good. And it says that on the home page, there's a little plus sign up in the right corner, and you tap that to start adding more nodes. But that's very cryptic.
Well, one of the things that I found impressive about this is everything you're describing to us didn't require a cloud service, did it?
No.
You have no subscription involved in this mesh network. To me, that's...
No, and no fee.
No fee, no monthly fee, no service that's out there that's tracking you or your activities. I mean, maybe there is. I'm making that assumption because they don't have a cloud service. Can't help but track you. That's the whole point. You get a Google Wi-Fi, of course it's tracking you. That's the whole point, is that you use your Google account to keep track of all your devices in the house. You've got antivirus and malware detection, all that's happening in the cloud. Parental controls. The Google Wi-Fi has parental controls that are based outside of your house, where you can flip on a switch and it's using an algorithm and a database to determine whether these are sites that would be appropriate for whatever parental controls you've set. Whereas when you're on your own, you're really on your own. You're like, these particular sites are the ones that I don't want my kids to see. And all that comes with the cloud services.
Well, this has parental controls also. I don't like it because I'm a wild man. I don't want to be controlled.
Don't treat me like a child. Well, I think this...
Well, actually, I did set a couple of things, no gambling sites on mine and stuff like that, but only because I wanted to test if there was then a password to lock that, so it couldn't be. There wasn't. So
you can't bypass the gambling sites now, or you can't get a block and then bypass it?
I don't know, but I mean, I could go back to the parental control and go to my account part and unclick gambling sites as something forbidden.
Something has happened on my end again.
Yeah, you're getting noise again.
Yeah, I've got noise coming through.
Same white noise.
Oh, they're gone.
Oh, there we
go. It's gone.
Oh, look at that. That was it. I think it might be... It might be a physical connection. I think it's my. I don't know if you guys can hear that. I can see it visually.
It's a dirty pot.
Dirty pot. Dirty pot.
It's,
don't touch my, stop that.
It's, oh, you guys can't see it from there. It's a
splitter. I think it's like when you static's building up on it.
When you toggled it, you sounded like you were in a rain barrel.
I won't touch it unless I notice the noise is creeping up, or if you tell me it's creeping up. I think some kind of static is building on it. It might be related to me.
Is it a physical switch?
It's not a switch at
is it
all.
A physical.
What it is it's a. I'd like to show it to you. Hold on a second.
That'll really screw it up.
This is right here. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's plugged into my audio. And if I touch it,
Yeah, got a short.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
or disconnect.
I'm glad I found it. I wish I had found it yesterday instead of in the middle of our meeting.
You have a spray can of contact cleaner?
You know what? That's what I need, don't I? I don't have any right now, but I need to get some because that would fix that. It'd clean it right up. Isn't there an alternative that you can use to contact cleaner? There's some home remedy that you can use, too. I can't think of what it would be, though. Maybe
it's either WD-40 or duct tape. Those are
everything. Cheryl, you couldn't sound more Canadian at the moment.
Or is WD-40 or duct tape? Which one is Canadian?
I figured it would both were. I was going to say that fixes everything, right? And that's I owned a Subaru where half of it was duct tape back in Alaska.
There you go. I bought WD-40 yesterday.
I think there's an expression that you use. If it moves and it's if it doesn't move and it should, you put WD-40 on it. If it moves and it shouldn't. Yeah, then duct tape.
It doesn't move and it should, WD-40. If it moves and it shouldn't, duct tape. Words to live by.
Yes. I'll have to get my red green suspenders next time we're on.
WD-40 is not really a lubricant. You know, it's a water displacer. That's what WD stands for. So, like, if your car distributor, if you have a car with a distributor, gets wet, and you spray it with WD-40, then it chases the water away so that your car will run.
Paul, I mean this with utter respect, but you sound just like my dad. Thank you.
My dad would have said baling wire.
Baling wire instead of duct tape.
Yeah, that's another generation.
There was no duct tape. It was baling wire.
Paul,
to keep the kids off you, it's barbed wire.
I'm really happy to hear about your success story with this low budget mesh network. I've been watching it for a while now, thinking it was a good product. I put it on my screen if you guys can make it out. You can't see my screen. It's all fuzzy. I'll do presentation mode. See if this makes a difference. See if this comes in clearer.
It's also in Spanish.
I was going to say it's Spanish.
I didn't even notice that. You're right.
It was clear. Spanish. I pinned it and I could see it pretty well, but I couldn't understand it. Something to Google. Says,
I'm going to Google. Oprah Keys. There we go. Now, how do I get back to the page? I'm in English now.
Gracias.
It's TP-Link. Echo. Where's the search? There it is.
Now, Echo 5.
M5. The Deco M5. Or Deco. If you're in Mexico, we call it the Deco.
Deco, see.
It's an AC 1300 home mesh network system. And one of the most attractive parts about it is that it retails for $149. Which is one of the cheapest meshes that you can buy right now. Now, what you're missing
now,
go ahead, Paul.
Well, when you look at the page in Amazon for it, it says there's a new version, M4, and I did a comparison on that. I think I talked about it last time. You're static.
Is it me?
Yeah.
That's you.
I'm playing with the cord connector. Is that better?
It's good. Yeah. So the M4 indeed came out in 19 and the M5 in 17. But the M5 has antivirus and the M4 does not. That's the main difference. Oh.
Well, that's interesting. Have you played with the antivirus now? Are you familiar with it?
No, you know, I didn't find anything that referred to it on the app.
I'm just curious if the antivirus is something, like, you know, we think about antivirus as something that actually gets updated once a day now, maybe even twice a day, depending on what's going on. And so I would hope that a device that's advertising antivirus is doing that. It's getting updates fairly regularly. Otherwise, it has to happen in the cloud.
It tells me I have to redo the firmware on this. So I have to pick a time when nobody else is online.
I wonder if you do.
The router, because it turns off.
Turns everything off?
For the firmware. Not software, but actual operating system.
Well, so this.
Okay. Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Okay, so the Eero, they've got one on a three-piece now, $159.
Now, the Eero.
That's cool. It's usually $199.
Yeah, I just was on, it says brand new Eero AC dual band, $159.99, free shipping.
Yeah, that's a great price. That's a new price. Yeah, what Paul said is true. It has been up till now, $199. The Eero also.
Well, that's what I paid for it.
Well, Linda, then you probably know that if you wanted to take advantage of the antivirus stuff, I think you have to have a subscription with them, don't you?
I think you do, but I use Malwarebytes. I check every night.
Sure.
Malwarebytes. I got a subscription to that, so it automatically does it every night. I have it set up for 2 a.m.
Sure. But there's a bunch of features with the Eero that you can't take advantage of unless you're paying a monthly subscription fee.
Correct.
And I really like the Eero. I think it's easy to set up, and it creates a robust pocket. But because of the price, at least up till recently, this is the first time I've heard this cheaper price for it. This is the reason that Paul and Jim and Gustavo and I have been looking at this product, is because of its price and its feature set. And the fact that you don't need a cloud service to go along with it, that you can manage it on your phone. It is AC 1300. That 1300, if you've seen that, the AC 1300, the AC 1900, these are referring to speeds in your network inside your house. So for the layman, it would just be the bigger numbers better. But when they do these items, they change packaging. Well, one of the other thing I like about this M5 is that each node is identical. You pick one to be the base node, but the equipment is all the same. And so you don't have a specific base. You can use any one of them to be the base, which really means when something burns out, you just buy one more of the specific product. You're not looking for a base node. And I also like that there's two Ethernet jacks on the back of each one of these. And that's something that's been changing in this mesh market. Sometimes there's no Ethernet. In fact, some of the weirder stuff, they've incorporated it with a smart speaker. So you give up the Ethernet and you end up with a smart speaker. And I'm not a big fan of that either. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The two Ethernets is so you can daisy chain it hardwire. But you need to have one to attach to the modem.
Yes, you need one to attach to a modem. But you could have an old-time entertainment center where you've cabled everything and they're all plugging into a hub. And you could just stick this on that, and all those cabled devices are now on your mesh network. So I like all those features, but I especially like the price. Three nodes for $149. I may be the next one to upgrade because I am wandering around my home network rebooting range extenders. And I like what Paul said, too. You said that, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but in your office, you were getting at most 15, and now you're getting over 40.
That's right.
And you were getting over 15 before putting the second node up. So even the base node was more powerful and better performance than your original router.
That's right, and That's all I needed was, it might have been that, you know.
Another feature I like about them is how small they are. They're so small and lightweight, you could get a mount for it. I could literally see you suction cupping it into a window because it's just, they're not heavy at all. They don't need a platform to sit on. They sell wall plug holders for them so that you could just plug it right into the wall.
Yeah, I got three of those for $20, but I don't even know if I'm going to use it because only one of them I could be an advantage to plug it in like my extender was down here.
Yeah, and I think the reason I mentioned the window scenario is because so many of us are from San Carlos. These cement rebar walls can be difficult to get through, but this is so lightweight you could hang it on a curtain rod in a window if you needed to. Well, cool. That's a great update on this equipment. I did put a link to this on the last meeting. If you're trying to get back to the Deco M5, you want to look at it. There's a link on the last meeting. But now that I say that, I might have put it in English, in Spanish. So I'm going to make a point in English on today's meeting, unless you want
to. So maybe I'll take the third node down to San Carlos and use it as my router.
As a main router, maybe. I would encourage you to just plug it in your house and see what kind of, see if it gives you any benefit.
Yeah.
In many ways, it could be like opening another lane on the highway. You may be going at a speed, like you said that you have been getting speeds up to 80 on your phone.
Yeah, and upstairs it pegs the meter and it goes over 100.
Yeah, so your internet provider provides you with a lot of internet and you're still not getting a lot downstairs. You're getting about half that downstairs. You might find plugging in that third one between you and the upstairs would open up another lane of traffic.
I might try that, yeah.
The way I understand from what I read with the equipment, you can only increase the reliability and the robustness of your network by adding more of these into it. Theoretically, I've always thought that if you were in a room like where we used to do the computer club, like Tequila's, and we were having problems with bandwidth, we could throw another port, another one of these nodes into that room. So we got two, got 100 people. For some reason, people are having trouble with bandwidth. Put a third one in. Still having problems? Put a fourth one in. They don't conflict with each other. They work with each other. And that's a big change with this kind of technology. It used to be your range extender was sometimes a hindrance to what you were trying to do because it would cause conflicts with your Wi-Fi network. You would have overlapping signals that would compete for the same radio space.
Well, that's my report anyway.
Well, thank you, Paul. And there was another that I am... Oh, it's Irving. Irving had a brand new... Matt, let me get out of this presentation mode. Irving told me this morning that he had the opportunity to own an M1 Macintosh for about 24 to 36 hours. What was your experience, Irving?
Well, okay. As you stated previously, the speed, the new chip, all that stuff is real, but useless if you have an iPad. The thing that made it a terrible purchase was, first of all, I didn't know it didn't have touchscreen. And as far as I'm concerned, touchscreen, anything that doesn't have touchscreen is obsolete. That's my opinion. The second thing is that having Macintosh, completely different learning curve and not easy. And so the transition, even though it's an Apple product, which amazes me, was very difficult. And the screen did not fill completely. The ultra-thin size was slippery, so you automatically have to get something to hold it together, like a cover. And all in all, unless you're a game player or some high-tech user, even for no money, I would stay away from it. By the way, it was $1,400 and change to my door.
So
absolutely, I give it two thumbs down.
Which one did you get? Was it the MacBook Pro or the MacBook Air?
The MacBook Air with the new chip.
The Air, okay. And the Air, the new Air is the only, it doesn't, it's the only, yeah, how do I want to say that? It's got to have the new chip. They're not selling the old chip anymore in the Air. The Air is a, now I thought that was a $1,299 product, so you must have paid more for shipping or an upgrade.
I don't know what the tax is. Amazon charges tax, and that's probably $100 and change on an item like that. So that's where the price difference comes in.
So it sounds like the problems you had with it were things like the sensibility of going from a Windows system to Macintosh. That change wasn't worth it because there's a learning curve there.
Well, a big learning curve. It's not just a small learning curve. The whole layout, the whole way the screen looked. I don't remember exactly what was going on because I returned it immediately. But you couldn't go directly to some links. It was a little more complicated. All in all, not only is it worth $1,400, it's not worth anything if you have an iPad, which seems to be far superior tablet.
Well, you know, the iPads, that's where they got the chip for this computer. And so, like, you're getting a lot of performance out of an iPad to begin with. So the comparison is probably closer than comparing it to a Windows machine. The amount of power that's coming out of it there. Did you use Chrome, the web browser? Did you go ahead and install Chrome and see if you had that kind of experience with it?
I did.
Did you have any issues going to websites and bringing up the stuff you would normally bring up when you're in the web browser?
No speed. The speed was there. It had the high speed.
Was it obvious to you when you're using the speed was there?
I'm limited by my bandwidth, which is probably 11, 12 megs. So I don't think it could take advantage of the computer.
I keep going, reflecting back on it. These are going to be the cheapest Macintoshes with this new chipset. They have already, rumors have been leaking out about the M1X, that they're going to, this chip was a 16 core. The next one is going to be either a 21 or a 32 core chipset. And what I'm aware of the way Apple does things is they really built these first ones to fit into the footprint of the old devices. So a good customer for the new MacBook Air would be somebody that was looking for a new MacBook Air. They'd been using a MacBook Air. Everything they did was on the MacBook Air, and they went to switch to the new MacBook Air. And so in that case, like Irving, you mentioned it was slippery. Well, they're already ready for that because they've already been using that computer before, so they know what that feels like. And they don't have to
Well, my biggest issue.
Go ahead, Irving. And let's say hi to Jim. Jim's on. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Go ahead, Irving.
The biggest issue I have is when you are used to touchscreen, it's like going back to the horse and wagon. I mean, a touchscreen is so convenient, so much faster to move around with that. And ordering an Apple, I just assumed it had touchscreen.
Well,
it's astonishing to me that it doesn't work like that.
I'm sorry you didn't understand that when you're trying it out, because that has been the complaint with Apple and their laptops is they've got some of the best touchscreens in the market, and they have not integrated them into the laptops. They've done it intentionally. And what they've done is they've built this huge trackpad. It's almost the size of a phone now. That's multi-touch, so it'll take sensory input from various finger touches all at the same time. I see Cheryl has her hand up. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I sympathize completely. I bought this Dell computer. I cannot use a touchpad. I need a mouse. I cannot use the touchpad. And I too thought it was a touch screen, and I'm touching the screen all the time. So, you know, I think that what Irving's saying about needing a touch screen I think that it is old technology, and that if you're going to spend $1,400 on a computer, it needs to have a touch screen.
I agree. I have a touch screen on my laptop, and every time I sit down at somebody's computer, I try and touch their screen, and I'm always surprised when it's not available. But this is not a surprise to people that are shopping in Macintosh. I'm sorry it was a surprise for Irving, but we all know they don't do touch screens on their computers. So if you're going after them, you know that they don't have a touch screen. And I'm sorry Irving didn't understand that when you were going after it, Irving.
There's another issue too, which I just remembered. It doesn't support all of the programs I have.
Well, that actually is true because it's a completely different chipset. So not only would your programs need to be supported in the Macintosh operating system, but then they would have to be written to be supported by this new chipset. And this new chipset really would make sense if you were like, well, I'll tell you my scenario that I keep going back on. And I started by saying, these are the cheapest Macintoshes of this new generation. They're going to put out more powerful, but they're also going to redesign them. And the reason these are so cheap is because they have stuck this new chipset in the old design. So everything about the computer is the old computer, except for the board inside and the ports that it plugs into. And I keep going back to, I'm doing video production. And for $699, I can buy a Mac Mini that's 10 times more powerful than the latest Intel chip. And I can slide it right into my workstation. I can pull out my old Mac Mini and I can stick in my new Mac Mini. And I have a video production studio for $699. And that's the cheapest that has ever been. And it's the most powerful.
Scott, I have another complaint.
All right, Irving.
I have another complaint while I can remember it.
Certainly, certainly.
So it comes with two C USB ports.
USB-C ports, yep.
In order to use your regular USB, you have to buy a 7 or 9 part adapter, which is nice. It's cost money. It's nice because it includes photos, that. But why should a $1,500 or $1,400 computer have to have an accessory right away just to use the stuff you're used to using, like flash drives and everything like that?
Irving, I think you should be writing tech reviews because this has been the complaint since they've moved to USB-C. And Apple has a history of doing this. Every time they make a change, they make it a dramatic change. And so they just cut everyone off with their USB-A ports and said, no, you'll just carry a dongle. And we actually refer to it as the dongle lifestyle. You've got this laptop that will fit in a manila envelope, but you've still got dongles in your pocket to make sure that you can connect to everything you need to connect to. So you are touching on the frustrations people have with these products. Hey, you said the screen wouldn't fill all the way. I was curious what that meant.
Well, if you would try to use the full screen, then you lost a lot of your links. So it didn't have the footprint that the iPod had. I felt that even though it had the size, I was looking at a smaller screen.
So did you have black space around the screen? Is that what you're saying? Like black bars?
Yes, as I recall.
Huh. That's
I just know I was disappointed with that aspect of it, too. It was very, very disappointing. I didn't see why people would buy this.
Well,
if they had experience with other products, a lot cheaper, and better.
Well, I do know the reason people would buy it is because they live their life in, like, the Chrome browser. They only use the tools that come with the computer, and they wanted 3-day battery life with more power. Now, those are the big selling points of it.
That was the point that got me, the big battery life. So, I like that.
So what about the new MacBook Pro? It's supposed to have a good battery life, too.
Yes, it is. It is practically the same computer. Now, the big difference is that it has active cooling system on it, and the Air doesn't. The Air has no fans. It's a fanless computer. And so if you're doing something like encoding video, which cranks up a computer, takes power, heats up, then on the air, there's this slight decline in performance over time. The more that you've ratcheted up that power, the longer you've done that, the less performance you get over time because it's heated up. And when it heats up, it slows down. On the MacBook Pro, there's an active cooling system. There's a fan that gets engaged when you start doing those kinds of activities. And so you have a steady performance throughout throughout that activity. That's the real big difference between the two. I think they even have the same number of ports on it. Disappointingly, I think you can buy a middle one that has more ports, but I think that the low end is the same as the MacBook Air. I don't know. I keep thinking about that Mac Mini just because it would replace the jobs that I do with my old Mac Mini, and I would need the adapter. No, actually, I think they have a USB-A on the Mac Mini, the new Mac Mini. So I would probably just need a hub for the three extra things I have plugged into it. And I don't think we're going to see them at this price when they redesign with the newer models. Like there's going to be a Mac Mini that's going to be a complete redesign. If there's not, there's definitely going to be a MacBook Air and a MacBook Pro that's going to end up being a complete redesign. God, I hope they put a touchscreen on it. We've been hoping for touchscreens forever on these computers. And the other thing we've been hoping for, and you didn't mention it, Irving, is the camera, the webcam is the same 720p webcam that's been on it for years. They don't change things very quickly on these Macintoshes. They look at them as appliances, and they don't fix things that work. And that webcam, people have been complaining about the quality of that webcam since the beginning. And what they've done is they've used the same sensor, and then they have this machine language stuff going on, and they have this software that's supposed to make you look better using the same sensor and the same optics. But in the end, it's just the same cruddy webcam. And they've got these beautiful cameras in the iPhones that they could be using on these computers. And they haven't done it yet. So those are the fantasies. Touchscreen and iPhone cameras in the MacBooks. I'm off kilter. Not naturally. That was a camera angle problem. Well, that's great. So we've got the Deco 5 M5 and the MacBook Air trash M1. What else have we got for today? Do we have any recommendations for today?
I do.
Is that Bill? What do you got, Bill?
It is. It's a very quick recommendation. I'm not a real fan of cooking shows on cable, but there's a very famous chef. I believe he's famous. That does YouTubes very nice little short ones. They're not long drawn out things. It's Jacques Pepin, P-E-P-I-N.
Jacques.
And Jacques J-A-C-K-C-Q-U-E, I believe.
He's a French
Pepin. Yes, he is. Have you found him?
I think I have.
He's got a huge. Okay.
He's a
That's
French,
him.
French-born American chef.
Yep, and he's done hundreds of PBS ones, PBS YouTubes. But we've tried a couple of his recipes that he does, and yesterday we did his. Fast and easy cheese souffle, and it was excellent.
Ooh.
It's not fancy. He doesn't do fancy stuff. He's got very good tips when he's in his show, and he's worth a watch. If you like trying something a little different, then his advice or his recipes are very good. There, that's it. I'm done.
Are you watching him off the PBS.org website? Where are you watching him?
Facebook feed.
Facebook, really?
Yeah. I follow him.
Yeah, I probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you follow him on Facebook.
Scott?
Kathleen, how are you doing? It's good to see you.
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and all that.
Thank you. Same to you all. An interesting thing happened yesterday in Arizona, or at least in Maricopa County. They rolled out the vaccine on the computer yesterday for vaccinations. And it started at 6 a.m. And we were sitting on our computers waiting at 5:30 and were successful in getting in at about 8:30. It had a few crashes, but they still have appointments left. Of course, they're 2 o'clock in the morning, but it seemed to have been a successful rollout for people that are 75 or over.
Oh, awesome.
That's the category.
Go ahead.
That's the 1B category that we're in here in Arizona. And so that category is for individuals that are over 75 or in congregate kinds of living situations, as well as teachers.
Can I add to what Kathleen is commenting on?
Oh, please, Chester. Go ahead,
Chester. I was online at 6 o'clock trying to get lined up. And like Kathleen, I finally got on about 8:30. First of all, they weren't ready at 6 o'clock. I finally gave up about 7 o'clock because they were so far, they didn't have anything. So anyway, I finally did get on and I found everything was full. I moved out 2 weeks though, and I was able to get on around noon on the Tuesday a week. A week from today, I was able to get into the stadium, but all of the 75 only places, like the grocery stores and Albertsons and Safeway, they're out. They're full for months. You can't even get in there. So I cannot give Arizona any kind of a compliment. They were months behind getting set up for this. And here we are, I'm 85 years old and very vulnerable. But fortunately I can get at least the first shot a week from today.
Chester, I had the same experience where I think the 27th at noon is my appointment in Chandler. But I have talked to people in other states who aren't even close to rolling out for people our age. So as bad as it was yesterday, at least we got appointments. And last night at about midnight, I checked again, and there are still appointments left, albeit the three locations would be in the middle of the night or early in the morning.
You're right. The only thing left is from midnight to 6 in the morning or from 8 at night until midnight. Anyway, we were lucky. We got in at for noon.
So none of the pharmacies, Albert's and Safeway's, have the injections. Right now, Arizona only has three testing or vaccination sites. However, the pharmacies have testing sites, not vaccination sites at this point.
That's what it is. Okay.
But if anyone is close to Arizona and can get on arizonahealth.gov/COVID, give it a try and get those vaccinations if you can. As I said, it's certainly not at convenient times for you, but at least they're using the computer to get this moving forward here in Arizona.
Hey, Kathleen, what was that web address again?
I believe it was Arizona Health .gov Oh, excuse me. Here it is. It's podvaccine.azhs.gov/home.
P-O-D.
But every county is
P-O-D.
Yeah.
Pod.
Yeah.
Vaccine.
Yeah.
Dot A-Z-H-S dot G-O-V slash H-O-M-E.
H-O-M-E. See, that's a good, easy one to remember for people. What were you going to say, Chester?
You'll need to know which county you're going to, because each county has its own rules. And what Kathleen and I are talking about are Maricopa County, which is Phoenix. And Tucson may have totally different, and Nogales may have totally different as well. So if you're going to go to Arizona and you're going to try to sign up to go to Arizona, which you can do online, you're going to need to know where you're going to get. And you have to register. And once you register, then you're permitted to go try to get an appointment.
I went to a couple of counties, Pinal and Yavapai, to see if I could speed that up. And they had nothing going on the internet yet. So as far as I could figure out yesterday, it was only Maricopa County that had rolled out on the computer.
It looks pretty straightforward to sign up. I'm assuming... Yep. Anyone would need to sign up. This isn't an extension of something that already exists. Is that right?
No, yesterday was the first day of the rollout, but you have to be in a specific category. One of those categories is one in 1B is your age, over 75. The other is in a congregate setting, for example, senior living, assisted living, the other would be a vulnerable population over 75.
School teachers, firemen.
Firemen and school teachers were in 1B, but your healthcare frontline workers were 1A, and they should have been completed by yesterday at midnight last night.
Yeah, but they're also...
So now just us.
They're also tying up the facilities because they're now getting their second shots.
Oh, wow.
That's correct. That's a real concern.
That's what I was going to ask. When you make your first appointment, do they also give you 21 days later another appointment?
Not that I know of.
Yes. So I was told that when you have your injection, and Pfizer is a different number of days than Moderna, you will be given a card as to the date of your second injection. I believe that's correct information because I tried to schedule the second injection. In Chandler, they're giving the drug Pfizer. And so they said that they would give me the follow-up injection by appointment card at the time of that vaccination.
Kathleen, you're supposed to have an email recognizing your appointment. Have you received that? Because I have not.
Oh, boy. Okay, this is a real concern. You must have received it, and it must have a scan code, and that when you are in line, they will scan. You will take that piece of paper, and they will scan the code. That is your appointment. And so online, you should have received your scan, a piece of paper with a scan code that is taken at the time of your appointment. Are you saying you did not receive that?
Have you received yours?
Yes. I received that within 10 minutes of making the appointment.
And I got to find out what went wrong.
Yeah, Chester, check your junk mail to begin with just to make sure you didn't receive
it. Good idea.
I'd also be curious to know if you don't have it, if you can get back into the system and see the record and get it resent to you.
Okay, the answer is, Chester, if you saved that number that they gave you, that gave you a code number, if you saved that code number, you can go back into your account and pull that up.
Oh, okay.
And so maybe there's a mechanism there to have it resent to you.
I better get going.
Yeah.
Can I ask, is this for Arizona residents only, or do you think that people that are down in San Carlos that are from other states?
No, it's not for Arizona residents, and it was made very clear on this website that I gave you. It's for anyone that's here out of state, out of country, anyone that would be in our area.
Anyone that's physically in Arizona, right?
So
that's exactly correct. You can be from Canada. You can be from Mexico. You must have a Medicare card and give them the number. You must have proof of your age. And those things are fed into this website.
How much?
They make an appointment.
In the application, they did ask for your address.
Right, excuse me, they did. But I have two people living with me, and they're both from the state of Washington, and they were both able to get appointments. One was a veteran, and he was able to go to the VA and get an appointment within 24 hours. And then the other is approximately my age, and we got an appointment together at the same time.
I am putting the link to the website into our chat because Jim just asked if we could. So
and can you do Not So Blurry?
That's the website that if you look...
He put it in the chat.
Go to the chat and you'll see it right there in your system.
I don't have a chat bubble on my iPad.
Where is it on the iPad? Is it at the bottom or at the top? I think it might be on the bar at the bottom.
Nope. I have add others, in call message, share screen, turn on captions, report a problem, report abuse, and settings. I do not have a chat bubble. Cheryl, do you?
Yeah, I do, but I'm on my computer. And it's up at the top where it says show everyone. Right beside it is this little speech balloon with lines.
If you look at my right here at the top, there's a chat with everyone.
Not on the iPad.
Not on the iPad. So,
well, my iPad can't open Google Meet because it's too old. So I can't help you on the iPad. Sorry.
Well, undoubtedly, okay, I'll put it on the post for today's meeting so you can come back later, sccclub.org, and see the recent post and get it. But Judy, if I send you messages, do you get anything on your screen?
I do. I saw Hi Judy.
So click on Hi Judy.
Can I give you the site, the web page address that I'm using?
Oh, certainly.
Which is
I got it.
Will you put it in chat, Chester, please?
Hi, Maggie. Sure.
I'll put it in present.
No, under chat.
Or just okay, rattle it off and I'll bring it up.
Let me get it back. I'll read it off to you. It's COVID-19 and that's in caps.
COVID.
Space.
Space.
Maybe not a space. Okay, wouldn't be a space. Capital V, like in Vector, ACCINE, small dash, phase 1B with the P and the B in caps.
What? This is a web address?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it is.
You got to have some dots in there somewhere.
There's not a slash, but a straight up and down horizontal vertical line.
Are you using AOL?
I'm sorry.
That was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
Okay. Then it's Maricopa County, AZ. Both the M and the C are capitalized. I click on that and I go right to it.
I don't know what you're reading from. But I Google searched it, and there is a Maricopa.gov, phase 1B web address.
This is a bookmark. A bookmark that I'm reading.
That's what you're reading from. You're reading from the title of a bookmark.
Yes.
But I think I found maybe this is what you're looking. I'm going to put it in the chat. Well, here, I'll bring it up on my screen here. Or should I go into presentation mode? Is it too fuzzy? I will pass the link on chat. So I think this might be the link that Chester's talking about. Does this look familiar to you, Chester? I'll go into present.
No, but that's the one I'm using.
That's the one that looks familiar to me too. The one that I was using.
Okay.
No, that's not the one I'm using.
Oh, this isn't the one you're using. So this looks like the Maricopa specifications, and then the other one looks like the place where you go for the appointment.
Yeah, mine is where you go for the appointment, and it also gives you all the rules.
Who can be vaccinated? Make your appointment.
If you go down to the very end and go through that, then you click on the link that's there, and that'll go send you right to your ability to make an appointment.
That's probably the one I'm giving you, I bet.
I think this must have something to do with the link you're trying to give us, Chester, because here's another COVID-19 vaccination locations when I clicked on the make your appointment. Yeah. But I do think that the one that Kathleen gave us is a more direct route to just getting the appointment together.
I don't think so.
Let me, this is the one right here. Arizona Department of Health. It's podvaccine.agdhs.gov. And this is here for making an appointment. Log in and make an appointment. But I'll put both those links on today's so you can go back and review it. And I'm glad to hear that it sounds like anybody that qualifies, it's not Arizona. It's anybody in Arizona that qualifies for whatever phase we're in.
I don't know what you do about that address. I don't know if it makes a difference or not. I think you got to fill in something, because every time I left blank, they had me go back and fill in something.
Yeah, they're just tracking you. You know, that's what we do now. We track everything you do.
Scott, however, I think not everyone in Arizona. I think Chester is correct. This is the rollout for Maricopa County. Now, it's not that any one of you couldn't come from wherever you are and zip down to Maricopa County, make your appointment, zip down to Maricopa County and possibly get in. But I did not see this rollout in the two other counties that surrounded Maricopa County. So I think right now this is limited to Maricopa County if any of you are interested, but there are appointments as of about midnight last night still available.
Well, I think they've got shots going on in Pima County because they've got them at the sports complex. They've got them at the a couple other places too, but you can get them in Pima County in Tucson.
Try Mariposa. Not Mariposa. The border.
Nogales.
I'm sorry. All right there.
Oh, that's another county. That's Pino County.
Okay,
Pima's Tucson.
Pima's Tucson, but Nogales is Pinal County, P-I-N-A-L.
Well, I don't think so, because Pinal County is right next to Mariposa.
Yeah.
And Pinal County started doing 75 a week ago.
Do you guys know how much it costs for, say, Canadians to get the vaccine?
Nothing, I would think.
Nothing?
Well, there's an administrative fee for you and I, Chester, so I am assuming out of country we'll have to pay that administrative fee out of pocket.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. The site is so badly set up that you have to ask by each day, and every day that there's no availability, you have to start all over again to get to the next day. And so I finally just put in there that I have no insurance, and then I was able to go from day to day to day. So I'm going in with no insurance.
Okay. Hold on a second. Nogales is Santa Cruz County.
Yeah, Santa Cruz. I made a mistake.
But I tried Pima also. That's Tucson. That's close.
So when you go in without insurance, you're going to have to bear the cost. Is that correct?
No, free.
I think what they were saying, Cheryl, is that there is administrative expense.
And if you have insurance, they want your insurance to pay them their administrative expense. If you don't have insurance, it doesn't matter. You get it free.
Yeah, I would imagine, like Chester is, if they've got like a $10 or $20 expense that they're asking insurance to pay, then they might ask that of you, since you wouldn't have insurance.
No, I don't think so.
No, you think they would just do it?
Yep.
Scott, didn't somebody say you had to have a Medicaid card for this? Yeah.
Medicare?
No. Well, no, you do not.
Somebody did, but it flew past us so quickly. I was assuming that was to justify that you were 75 or older.
Well, you have to prove that, but you prove that through your driver's license or a birth certificate. You know, but as far as I know, there is no charge only if you have insurance, they would like to get a little reimbursement for other services.
I'm looking at the Maricopa County website right now, and I can't find anything about cost. I find eligibility. I learned that POD stands for point of dispensing. So if you hear the terminology POD, that's what it means, point of dispensing.
No, you read enough, it'll eventually tell you through questions and answers that there's no cost.
And then they've got a list here of the different locations. And they specify no walk-ins at all the locations, appointments only. And
well, today they came out with a walk-in, one walk-in place. They came out today that they only pick walk-ins because it's at a school.
And
well, anyway,
that's
what's going on.
I see that on this website that they're listing locations that you can make an appointment for, and they're also listing locations that have no availability. Southeast, there's no availability. Southwest, no current availability. Northeast.
I think the only availability is at the stadium. And where they're doing 6,000 an hour or 6,000 a day, only at the stadium I think you'll find availability. And in the near term, that'll only be late at night or early in the morning.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Maggie.
Well, I was just going to ask if the walk-ins have age restrictions also.
I think the walk-ins are only for the age. I believe they're only for the 75s.
Can you walk into the stadium? It's the only one here that doesn't specify.
The walk-in I heard on the news this morning, but I did not know if that was only for 75 or for all of 1B. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like appointments. Looks like you said the stadium looks like it's ready for appointments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yes.
In the Maricopa County regions, no walk-ins are allowed, and Central and Northwest are where they're taking appointments only for 75-plus and healthcare workers.
Yeah, but I think you'll find that's the grocery stores. And
this is Banner Arizona Fairgrounds.
Oh, okay.
And Banner Del Webb Sun City West.
Right.
A logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
You would think after a year of preparing for this moment, we would be better.
Okay, Scott, I have to go. Chester, you said you're frustrated with this. Okay, let me tell you a story about our province. We had the vaccinations approximately the same time you guys did come to our province. And they were supposed to be for phase one. And phase one was frontline workers. It did not include any paramedics that were transmitted. It did not include the nurses, only the doctors on the COVID-19 wards. It was so full of holes that it was ridiculous. And the only time they add anything is when the professional organizations like the paramedics or the nurses got so loud and had so much public support behind them that they added them to them. Teachers are nowhere, anywhere. They're on the general population next August. Meanwhile, they opened up all of our schools yesterday. All of our kids.
No, Gerald, that story's been told already.
Oh, has it?
Yes. You were on the phone.
Oh, okay. And it's, you know, you talk about frustration.
Wait a second. That story ended with everybody got sent home, right?
Isn't that great? Yes.
One grandson's class.
The teacher and the students got sent home.
I have to find my email.
I do have a question about the shots, Chester. And,
sure.
And I just forgot.
Hey, this is fine if this is what you guys want to talk about, but we are running out of time and we've turned into the vaccine club.
Real quick question, and then I do have something I've been trying to ask for 2 weeks. Chester, do they test you for COVID before they give you the shot?
No. Not that I know of.
So if you have it, you get the vaccine anyway, and does anybody know what that amounts to?
That's a great question. What does that mean if you find out that you have COVID and you've gotten the vaccine, what does that mean for your immune system?
Okay, so yeah. Under the website that I gave you, they list the 10 most commonly asked questions and answer, and they specifically answer that question. So you can go through the website that was posted, and you'll get the answer to that and actually many more questions that are
sent. A lot of questions are answered.
Great, thank you.
I got to go find my...
Wait. Don't go yet, because I want you to hear my question, please. I'm totally changing the subject. And I don't need an answer. I just want you guys to think and maybe come up with answers for me next week. I am working on a sheet for the police where they have you didn't stop for the stop sign in Spanish, translated to English, and the column next to it. And I made it up and I gave it to a couple of them. I said, please look it over and let me know what's missing, or if you don't like the layout, what does it need? And the first question was, how do I know how to say this in English? If you don't speak English, you don't know how to pronounce the word. So I can't, and I don't feel like, even if I could, have a group meeting with them to go over all these words, because there's 30 or more. They'd have to meet many, many times before it would register. Is there a way for me to record it in English and Spanish and get it to them on their phones? That's my question. Don't need an answer unless you have one.
Well, Maggie, I think are two different things. One is the Google Translation app that you can just speak to and it will speak out your translation. But also, I think last year, maybe it was, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody came up with an EMT translation sheet that was on the phone.
Yeah.
It was an app.
That was the, yeah.
Yeah. And what was neat about that is they could pull out this app and they could point to the Spanish and it would, I guess what it was is the person that they were dealing with could point to the Spanish, because it was in reverse. It was for English speakers trying to speak to Latinos. And they could point to the Spanish, and then they could read the English that it translated to. So they were literally handing them a cheat sheet on their phone. So it would ask the questions the EMT person would ask, but it would ask it in Spanish, and they would tap on it, and then the EMT person could read the English.
So what you're saying is, rather than having, I mean, I don't know how to make an app. I couldn't if I had to. But so what you're saying is that if they stop somebody and they want to know why they were stopped, they could say in Spanish into Google Translate, no pararon en la enseña, or whatever the word is, and it would translate it to English, and they'd have to show them their phone.
Yeah, you would have the phone out, and they could say it right into the phone, and then they could have it talk back to them. But I think your idea of having a cheat sheet makes a lot of sense, just like in the example of the EMT app would be, like even if it was just a document on the phone, and they're like, why did you pull me over? And they could bring up the document, and they could point to the Spanish. And then the English person could read the English underneath it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You just saved me a lot of frustration.
Can I ask you a question on this?
Go ahead.
Do the policemen have a phone at their disposal?
Every one of them has a cell phone.
Everyone
in Mexico has a cell phone.
Everybody in the world has a cell phone now. Yeah. It's an amazing delimiter between all of us now. So you don't have health care, but you have a smartphone.
Right. Exactly.
You don't have public education, but you have a smartphone.
Right. You don't have any of those things, but you have a TV set. That was in the 60s.
You don't have running water. You don't have sanitary places to go to the bathroom. You don't have walls on your shack, but you still have a side. Let that sink in a little bit about the world that we're in.
Yeah. They also all have Google Translate, and they also all have Duolingo. So thank you, you guys. You just made my life very simple. I can have maybe three short meetings with a group of three of them or something and tell them how to do it, and it's done. And then I can make the sheets better so that they're a little more easy to read.
There's got to be no more than like a dozen at most reasons that you would pull over a foreigner. I mean, speeding, broken taillight.
Yeah, that's true.
It seems like it would be really easy to put together a physical cheat sheet that you pull out the clipboard and point at and show it to them.
Yeah, I think I overdid it. I think there's too much on it, and I'll correct that today.
But Maggie, did I understand you that they wanted to practice how to say it in English?
They might, but they can do exactly what Scott said and get in Google Translate.
Yeah, because Google Translate, when we were working with the police, Google Translate was the thing to go to. And or you could make some practice videos kind of thing, like where you say it in Spanish and somebody says it in English, and then they could play it over and over again themselves so that they could get used to the actual pronunciation. Because I know what you mean. When they see it written, they don't know how to say it.
Exactly.
And they do want to be able to say it. They don't want to have to rely on showing you a piece of paper. They want to communicate right with the people, and they want to say it in something they will understand. So,
but I want them to have it on their phone so that they don't have to pull out a tape recorder or whatever people use these days. Just push a button on their phone, and they'll hear my voice or somebody's voice saying, "You ran a stop sign. You ran a stop sign."
Yes.
Yeah, where it'll get confusing is when they're trying to argue with them. So this is all, I've only got 12 phrases. You're getting a ticket.
So then they say, silencio, sígueme. Yeah. Shut up and follow me.
Give me your license and follow me back to the shop.
And the English person says, más despacio, por favor.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. Great ideas. If you have any more, let me know.
Certainly.
Very cool thing to do, Maggie.
That sounds like a great...
It's a lot of fun working with them. And besides that, it keeps them on my side, and they watch out for my house every summer when I'm gone.
You know, if you did consider that app idea, that you could reach a point where it was just like a calculator button layout where it's didn't stop for stop sign, speeding, and you hit the button and it just has a full description in English of this is what's going to go down. This kind of infraction normally costs from this amount of money to this amount of money. You're a foreigner, so you have to give me your license. You're going to follow me back to the cop shop. If you need to go to the ATM, we'll follow you there.
I don't think they get that technical, but Scott, how much are you going to charge me to make that?
I'm not making that.
Scott, aren't there some technology schools down there that the students are looking for projects? Isn't there competitions for developing apps? Any of those kind of things?
I don't know that those schools are open.
That's a really good question. I don't know anything about that, but you can bet there's stuff like that going on. And if you wanted to branch this out, Maggie, you might be able to approach one of the computer schools around here or even somewhere down south and just propose it. Somebody might want to use it as their senior thesis, something like that.
Or talk to one of the Castaway kids, because there's a bunch of their students that are doing, you know, at-home learning and things like that. And maybe they would take it on as a project.
I don't know that anything's happening with Castaway Kids right now either, but I do know someone I can call and find out. Yeah. They could at least give me the name of a school or a student, and I could go from there.
I think Christiane is still working with a lot of the students. Christiane is still working with the students, and there are some of the students that are getting ready to go to post-secondary, and they're applying, and they're doing different things, and I bet some of those students would love to take this on.
Great idea. I will pop in on her either this afternoon or tomorrow. Great idea. Thank you very much.
She has limited hours, I know, but I know she's still there and they're still working with the kids.
I'll catch her. Thank you very much.
Okay. I want to take this time. I feel like we're running out of time. Last week I said I was going to talk about hacking, but that was before we had an insurrection happen. And so I wanted to just take a few moments and hear anybody's thoughts on the president being banned from Twitter and Facebook. Anybody have any thoughts on Parler being shut down by Amazon? So it will go down as a business? Is there, has anybody been paying attention to this stuff? And yeah, James, you got something you want to share? Are you muted? You're muted right now, James.
You can unmute him, can't you, Scott?
No, I can't. No. It doesn't let me unmute James.
James, hitch your, there he goes.
I'm on.
Yes. All right. Yeah. And then right, Bill, because I saw Bill had something to say too.
It shocked me. That the whole insurrection thing shocks me, but didn't really like. It's just almost a continuation of what's been going on. You know, that to me anyway.
A shock, but not a surprise.
Yeah, that's sort of
That's what I've been hearing across the internet.
Yeah. And I guess I was kind of surprised at how weakly or how poorly protected the Capitol building was, really.
So are we all. It seems very unusual that they would have so much buildup to what was going to happen. There was a lot of information that this was going to happen, and there was no fortification in the
Capitol. Another thing that maybe, I'm not sure whether it's been coming out in the United States, but we've had the Proud Boys situation in Canada, too. It's not just focused on the United States.
Really?
And a number of them were drummed out of the Canadian forces.
Wow. So they have an affiliation with this group in the United States?
The Proud Boys, yeah. Canada was almost a fermenting place for some of it.
And it's a Canada export. The guy that formed it is Canada.
Yeah, and they one of the guys from born in the UK, grown up in Ottawa, ended up taking the idea to New York, and they had an initial meeting apparently, and a brawl broke out at the bar where it was, and that was the kind of the beginning of it all. The Proud Boys, anyway.
Wow, that's a history I have not heard.
Yeah, and what it was another. I think that there at more than one person on the Capitol Police has turned out to be involved somehow with those far right groups too.
Well, I think somebody from the Capitol Police has resigned because of what's happened.
Just because he didn't catch it, but the other side is that there's actually people that are sort of involved with those groups.
Well, we've got video of police opening up barricades to let them through. Mm-hmm. So it's unsettling what has happened. I think from the perspective of the computer club, some of the things that are unsettling is how quickly our information infrastructure could be wagered against opinions that we don't care for. And so, like, Trump has a permanent ban on Twitter now. I think it's justified. My opinion, I think it's justified. I think at the very least it's justified because we don't want to see any more violence going down. But for me, it's more a cooling off period. Let's just take a step back and let's just shut everything down and let's see where let's figure out where we sit in all this. The Parler thing I find a little disturbing. Because it's a separate business that made its business being the place where you could go talk when other places wouldn't let you talk. I'm being very generous because you could say it's a hate speech platform because of the kind of people that were attracted to it. But Amazon has cut them off of their cloud services. And so that business is going to go under because of this. Whereas what they did was facilitate an area where these people could talk, not necessarily for their conversations, but for conversations that were questionable. What's the good adjective for that? I racist, angry. I have a lot of mixed feelings. I think that we come from a country that's supposed to be about free speech and we're supposed to be able to have tolerance. But at the same time, I'm starting to get this feeling that you can't be tolerant with intolerant people. And it's an odd place to find yourself thinking about. I have never had these kinds of thoughts about things. And to watch how quickly, and it's not quickly, they could have shut down the president a long time ago. He didn't because he was the president. They didn't shut down what he said on Twitter. They just edited him. They editorialized him because he was the president. It's only now in the last few days, it's only now after an insurrection that they feel comfortable shutting him down on these platforms.
The one question I have is, when you shut him down, you don't know what's brewing in the background.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. And you also, you give them fodder for their cause. Look what happens. Look what happens when you don't align with the other side. You get shut down.
Yeah, the flip side of that, though, is that by shutting them down, they have less access to new to being able to radicalize people, because people don't search them out. They usually get recruited somehow on a nice soft topic and then swept into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the case. There's, I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for us having problems in the United States. And like this may have made it easy for them to organize and radicalize, but that doesn't mean it's going to stop because you've cut them off. If anything, aren't they going to get deeper into their sentiments? I mean, really, very much like how we've been dealing with terrorism.
I think you're right there. I think you're right there that they will get deeper into it, but I don't think that will be a problem for law enforcement to follow them there. Okay, but it will mean that teenagers, for example, won't follow them there. They'll be just looking for another tune, and it won't be a place where somebody can recruit them from that topic, you know?
You're talking about, like, you're not on YouTube making a funny video about how you should take over the presidency, right, or storm the Capitol, because you're not allowed to be there doing that. It sure feels like whack-a-mole, though. It's just... Like, where does the line get drawn, and what kind of responsibilities do these platforms have for monitoring this stuff? And what does it say for us as a society, not being able to distinguish between the difference and asking for a big brother kind of agent to we're in a climate right now where we hold Twitter and Facebook responsible for this kind of, these kinds of happenings, just for creating the environment that these conversations could take place in. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's where we're at. This is it's driven us to talking about being driven. I've been driven to be an extreme liberal because of this. I was never an extreme liberal. I was a very moderate, almost libertarian liberal before. And because of this class of people and their beliefs, it's driven me way over to the other side in the way I behave and the way I talk. And I don't want to be there either. I want to see us all come closer to the middle. I see us all as having things to contribute to our society. And we've gotten so far away from having these kumbaya conversations. Maybe we can blame that on the platforms. It's just pushing us so far away from each other.
You know, Scott, there just has to be consequences for our behavior, no matter what it is. But you have to ask who's going to be the judge. But when you go to Parler or any other such kind of website, what you're doing is prejudicing your bias. So you've got a bias, and now you've got a whole bunch of people that will support that bias and prejudice you further in one direction or the other. But again, there have to be consequences. But who's the judge?
Yeah.
I have a question. What is this new? I had an invitation from someone yesterday, and they are a bit of a trumper, an extreme trumper. And she said that come join me on MeWe. Is that another platform?
It's another platform, another chat platform that's out there.
They seem to be very leaning towards trumpets, because that's the tone I got. Anyway, I didn't accept the invitation. So,
well, and they've scattered. I'm sorry, say again, Caroline.
I said, don't get involved. I'm a Canadian. It's not my problem.
I'll have you know that people that think like this, they don't care what country they're from. I've heard some crazy stuff come out of Canadians. Not your really? Not present company excluded.
Well, the thing is, about several decades ago, we had an issue where there was a high school teacher who was teaching denial of the Holocaust and things like this, and it came around. And in Canada, you can't use speech, even verbal speech, that incites hatred towards it. You know, you're not allowed to have hate speech. I mean, if you want to, it goes to court if you're accused of it and so on. And there's been very few cases that have actually gone to court, but everybody knows the rules.
Right.
And so the public forum is polite from that point of view.
I keep looking at this whole situation, and it reminds me of that expression, we can't have nice things. And it's like, here we've created this environment where freedom of speech is pushed forward, democracy is pushed forward, and now we see as these tools are used to do stuff like that. Like they complain, they are the intolerant people, but they complain because you're shutting down their speech. Like, we are intended to be tolerant of their intolerance because of the society that we've created.
The people in that crowd think that their First Amendment rights are being violated, and they're not.
Yeah, I agree. I think they absolutely believe that. I think that they perceive reality from such a different perception that they are the ones that are the victims, and they're fighting back against it.
I know.
I think there were people in that crowd that legitimately thought that people would stand up and cheer as they overthrew the government.
I agree.
I was shocked by that. I remember the young woman with the tear gas in her eyes, and she said, "I'm just here for the revolution," you know, just believing that was the point of it all. You know?
Couldn't believe she got tear or pepper spray. No, I think that's a really good representation of people from that crowd. That, I mean, I don't mean to offend anybody whose politics are slightly conservative. I'm okay with all the. There was a time in this country when a conservative and a liberal could sit down and have coffee together and solve the problems of the world. And we've reached a point where that can't happen. They won't have coffee with me anymore.
Scott, intelligent people still can. Unfortunately, we're all stupid.
I have to agree with, I mean, we've done it to ourselves. Look what we've done with public education. We've just created a society of people that aren't critical thinkers.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a big problem. And there's in the United States, I was looking at a book that I got in when I was in San Carlos, and there's the cost per pupil is a factor of three difference between states. So if you're in Arkansas, you're getting one third of the money spent on your education than you are in New York, for example. And even within the states, it's not even, you know, like people in certain parts of New York get a better education than others, but still three times, that's a lot of education that's missing down in some places.
Well, and still, I mean, how you spend the money matters as well. It's kind of like healthcare, right? We spend the most money that you could possibly spend on a healthcare system, and it's still, what, 47th in the world for quality? Mm-hmm. Education's very much that kind of game as well.
Yeah, and I watched when there was a No Child Left Behind.
Right.
It broke my heart because they were all left behind. No one was left behind. They were all left.
They're all at the same stop. That's right. The bus went on without them.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, it's not just a bus anymore; it's a fast train in China.
Right.
Scott, I have a question about you. You say that Amazon shut down Parler, whatever that is, by allowing them not to use their cloud.
That's right. In fact,
is there no other cloud for them to use? I'm confused as to how.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, for bringing it back to a tech topic, because that's really what we should be doing here. But and this is my legitimate concern, and I don't know how I because I'm happy they're gone. I mean, personally, I don't represent it. I'm not representing my business right now. I'm happy they're gone. I'm happy they're not allowed to say things on Facebook. I'm happy they're not allowed to say things. And I smile at the videos that I see of them, their own selfies and their own Instagrams have incriminated them, and they're being picked up and charged. That gives me a warm feeling inside. So I'm sorry if anybody has a problem with that, but I am very pleased with how all that is shaken out. And I hope it just continues over the next year, because I think they should be punished for what they've done. I think they've put our democracy into question, and that was not the way to fix any of the problems that we have in our country.
So now, if government is going to shut them down or that, but what you said was that Amazon was going to.
So this is one of the things that I'm concerned of as a tech person, is that we have these platforms now that applications are built on. So in this case, Parler is a hodgepodge of different services. They're not their own. Nobody does their own thing anymore. You don't bake every ingredient that's baked into the cake doesn't come from you. You don't mill your own flour anymore. Right, you don't grain your own sugar, and so in the same respect, you build an application and it uses a framework that you got from one organization. It uses a storage that you got from another organization. It uses a payment processing system that you got from another organization. And Parler has fallen apart overnight because their credit card processors decided not to do business with them anymore. Not for any legal reason, just they didn't like the crowd that was in their application. The AWS, the Amazon Cloud, where they were hosting their data, said, we don't have to be associated with people that draw this kind of crowd, and we consider it a breach of our terms of service, so they shut down their cloud, effectively making it impossible for them to run their application, which is their business. And so that's kind of the discussion that's not going to go away because of this incongruent balancing act that we're trying to do between democracy, which is fragile. I've heard that terminology every day this week, and the idea of freedom of speech and the idea of capitalism. And right now it's all being affected by these platforms of immense size that can do immense damage just by flipping a few switches. Because that's basically what's happened. There's not been a mandate to shut Parler down. Bill, you want to add something?
Well, yeah. Cheryl can attest to the fact that I have paid some attention to this whole Trump thing for a while. But you know the people, what you see on the internet right now is, first off, I saw a really interesting thing. It says you no longer have to worry about how to pronounce Parler or Parlay. It's gone. You don't have to worry. But they have shut down Trump's Twitter and his Facebook. But I think one of the things that's sort of gone by the by is they've also the places that were processing his donations have stopped.
That's right.
His money supply has been cut off this time.
And, that's right.
And you don't hear that much. And the last thing, I just checked Twitter, and there's a thing going around that says if they impeach Trump, they're going to start violent demonstrations all over the place again.
If they don't.
So, yeah, if they impeach Trump, then they're threatening all kinds of violence if they impeach Trump.
All the state capitals apparently.
And, yep. And what James said earlier about there being Proud Boys in Canada, in four of our capital cities, Calgary, Alberta, Toronto, Ontario, Vancouver, BC, there were protests the same day that the insurrection was happening in the States. There were protests.
There were people on government steps protest, supporting the people at the Capitol. Insurgent.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And not only were they supporting them, they were protesting, like in my hometown, protesting on the streets of the city hall without masks, gathering beyond the COVID restrictions. And it just all gets tied together with putting other people at risk, as well as them saying, I need to stand up for my right to support the president.
Let it be known that they did not beat a policeman with a flagpole.
No.
And they
well, probably you guys are Canadians.
Yeah, well, they probably used harsh words.
Yeah.
Spoke harsh words in their direction.
And the other thing that I heard about was that there's a group of Canadian techies. And as soon as this was happening in Washington, they were investigating already before the FBI asked for people to help find these. They got all of their techie groups together, and they were finding, you know, whatever you techie guys do to find people in the internet and identifying people and reporting them to the FBI. There's a group out of Eastern Canada that were very high up in that, according to our news.
Well, that's what we're learning now, is just the sheer amount of information about this coming that had already been known. And so there was no reason for the Capitol Police not to be ready. And it sounds like, what's he called? Is he a mayor of Washington, D.C.? I'm not sure. Whoever's in charge of Washington, D.C. was ready with the National Guard at any moment, and he kept being told to wait.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The mayor of Washington is a woman.
And it was her police captain. That's the him. But basically they said, we've got it all covered. And so it's fuzzy there.
Yeah.
Okay, on that note, I'm gone.
We have gone very late. I love talking to you guys, and undoubtedly we will probably bring this up again next week, but hopefully next week we'll get to the immense worldwide hacking of organizations and government institutes that has been going on since March, that undoubtedly has them wormed into every nook and cranny of everything we do. Without any chance of it going away. I think it's going to be a diplomatic solution, because technically they've already sucked up all the information they could possibly suck up from us.
So, okay, in the words of Scott Vincent, tech on.
Until next week, see you guys.
All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Have a good day. Good to see you, Irving.
Yeah. Bye. Nice.
Good to see you all.
Take care.
Bye bye. That's a great effect as everybody's taken off. See you, Jim. I'm hanging up. Hey, are you trying to reach me?
I did just try to reach
you. In fact, that's funny. You're on the stream. Hold on a second. I just finished the computer club meeting, and I was saying goodbye and realized I haven't stopped streaming yet.